For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. A paradox of life is as we get older, the faster the years seem to fly by. We reminisce how in childhood it seemed that Christmas or the next birthday would never come. As adults, we find ourselves not having enough time to prepare for Christmas and wanting to forget that next birthday. At some point, the startling truth that life is precious and brief settles into our souls. The New Testament book of James is one of the most practical portions of Scripture for daily living. Today, Pastor Holland directs our attention to the book of James, chapter 4, as we listen to part 1 of A Proper View of the Future.
Bibles, James chapter number 4. I want to speak to you today on having the proper view of the future. I know today when we think about the future, we often think about a lot of things, but it's important for us to have our mind set on the right things and doing what is right and understanding the future that is before us. In 1988, there was a book that was distributed to a bunch of American pastors, and its title was, There's 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come in 1988. If Christ would have come in 88, we'd have just been a year old as a church. We started in 87. But unfortunately, well, I say fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, I knew he wasn't coming in 88. And the reason I knew he wasn't coming in 88 is because the Lord said, no man knoweth the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come. This man's name was Edgar Wisnot, and he predicted that the rapture was going to take place on September the 11th, 12th, or 13th. He wasn't sure himself, but he was trying to give himself a little leeway. And he said the rapture would take place the 11th, 12th, and 13th of 1988. What was even more tragic about it is the Trinity Broadcasting Network, they thought about what he had said, and so they planned into their schedule that on those days, they knew they wouldn't be there because they were going to be raptured out, and so they had programs that was going to tell people what they needed to do after the rapture transpired. Now, friend, today, I believe that we ought to be ever mindful of the fact that Jesus is coming, but I do believe that we need to understand that nobody knows when he will come. And as a result of that, we need to be ready and prepared at any time for his coming. I believe today, with no doubt in my mind, Jesus could come before the service is over today. I cannot predict that. Neither would I tell you that that was going to happen. But I tell you, it could happen. It could happen today. It could happen this week. It could happen this month. It may be 10 years. I don't know, but I do know Jesus is coming again. And where there's no way that we can prepare as far as sitting down and waiting, as some people have, we understand that when he comes, that we need to be ready when he does come. The fact is, man does not know the future. People spend millions of dollars going to psychics, palm readers, if you will. It's amazing to me, in almost every town you go to, you'll find a palm reader, and she'll tell you your future. But I tell you, she don't know your future, and when you leave, you'll not know any more than you did when you went in. And you know, we're able to look backwards, and I look back over the years, and there's things that I can do, not do again that I did in the past because I knew what the past brought. But I cannot look to the future and know what exactly is going to happen. But I do know today that I do not know the future other than what the Bible tells me, and I do not know when the Lord's coming back, and I do not know when it's going to happen. Now, wouldn't it be, and I know today in your mind, you're thinking, wouldn't it be great to know the future? Wouldn't it be great to know that everything was, going to happen at a certain period of time? Honestly, I think we're blessed not knowing what the future holds. The reason I do, for you see, if we knew that prosperity was coming, we would probably live very carelessly. We would probably not live in a manner that would be pleasing to God. If adversity and trouble was forecast in our future, it would make us live in constant anxiety and fear. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the things that have happened in my life, I'm grateful that I did not know they were going to happen and had to think about them and worry about them all the time until it did happen. Men would die 1,000 deaths before they really died if they knew what day they was going to die on. They would think about it constantly and be very much saddened by all that is there. I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God does keep some things a secret. about the future. But truly today, James deals with some verses. And I want you to see these verses, beginning verse number 13 of James chapter number 4. He said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and we'll continue there a year, we'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We find James writing to a group of believers that I believe had made many mistakes in their lives. They had repeated them day after day. And I believe even the mistakes that they were making are being made in the day and age in which we live. I think today people live mostly as if there's always going to be a tomorrow. They live as if there's going to be a day that we're never going to stand and face God. But I submit to you today, there's coming a day when there will be no tomorrow for the child of God, and even for the lost person at the end of the tribulation period and the millennial reign and all of that. But I'm simply saying today, the future ought to be lived in a manner that would be pleasing to God. The first thing I want you to notice with me, in verse number 13, the mistake number one that we make. We plan the future without God. You know, I can't imagine anybody today that would plan their future without God in their plans. I submit today that we live in, I believe, a generation to where people are planning their future around themselves rather than around God. God, if we can work in, we'll do that. And if we can get you to the place that we, you know, can squeeze you in, we will do that. But let me tell you something today. God doesn't want to be squeezed in. God wants to be a part of our lives on a daily basis to where our life revolves around Him. Friend, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And what he meant by that was that every day that he lived, it was his desire that he might be faithful to God and serve Him. Now, just to give you a little bit of an idea of the position that the people of this day was in, I want to read verses 1 through 10 of our text. And if you go back there with me, listen, and you'll understand why Paul was telling them the things they needed to hear. He said, "From whence coming wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and ye war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses," very strong language, if you will, "know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. And let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." He said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." I think you understand, reading those 10 verses of Scripture, why the apostle was writing to them and telling them that they were making a mistake by leaving God out of their lives. I could go back and just spend a lot of time on verses 1 through 10, but that's not the message I have today, so I'll move on. But we could go through verses 1 through 10 and see the very things they were doing. He said, "There's fightings and there's wars among you." I want you to know today that the most important thing in our life is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear His word, to lift Him up. And by the way, He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Friend, people getting saved is not us drawing them to ourselves, but it's Christ drawing them to Him because they are lifting up. They had ignored God in their planning. You know where we're at today? We're living in a generation, literally, that is described in the Word of God, is having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, we have the form. We go to church and we hear the Word of God and we, you know, we do everything we're supposed to do, at least on the outward appearance. But literally, in all, we may have the form of godliness, but on the inside, by our actions, we're literally denying the power of God in our life. And that's exactly what they had done. So their position was they had rebelled. They had turned away from God. They had done their things in their own way and gotten away from God. And then second of all, we see their plan. Now, isn't this interesting? He begins to tell them in the verse, he said, "Go to now, ye that say." The first of all, the plan that they have is constructed. Here's what we're going to do today or tomorrow. I remind you today that literally tomorrow never comes because tomorrow is always today. But yet we postpone many times many things in our life and we plan. And so here's these people. They had no thought of God. They had no thought of worshiping God. They had no thought of walking with God. They had no thought of an understanding that God would lead them. But they said, here's what we're going to do. Friend, you better be careful saying what you're going to do when you leave God out of the equation. I simply believe today that they constructed what they were going to do, and then they even chose their place of doing it. He said, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. He said, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year. We'll buy and sell and get gain. So they were going to go down to the city and they were going to trade. I want you to know today that I'm grateful that God called me to preach. But understand, God doesn't call everybody to preach. And God calls people into business and all kind of outreaches, perhaps that are not necessarily what we would call ministry related. But could I submit to you today that every child of God, irregardless of what you do or where you work, you have a responsibility to include God in your life, to make Him and to understand that He is the one that literally controls your life, and He's the one that has preeminence or should have preeminence in your life in what you do. They said, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to the city. And I tell you, we're just going to buy and sell. We're going to trade. We're going to get great gain. I tell you, boy, you can have plans for the future, but you know a lot of people's plans never work out. They have plans of what they're going to do, but friend, I'm telling you, if you leave God out, you better understand that your plans, I've heard many a story, people's plans have been dashed to pieces because they went their own way. They even calculated the period at the time that they were going to go into the city and buy and trade. They said, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year. Hey, don't worry about me. Today or tomorrow, I'm going to the city. I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to get great gain. Ain't going to take me but a year. Buddy, I'll have my pockets padded. I'll have everything I need. I'll be able to take care of my family and do what I want to do. Better be careful. What James was saying is, friend, you better understand one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make is leaving God out of your planning.
You've been listening to a message entitled, A Proper View of the Future. Our desire at Victory Baptist Church is to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to encourage them in their Christian walk. Join us again next week on this same station as we discover more timeless truths in God's Word. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.